Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to the Midlife Rewire podcast. This is episode number 11, and I'm here with Maxine Speck. Maxine is a Vedic educator who graduated from the Chopra Center in 2013 with certificates in primordial sound meditation, perfect health Ayurvedic lifestyle, and the seven spiritual laws of yoga. Maxine has been teaching in hospitals, corporate events, and privately to groups and select individuals for over a decade. Thank you so much for being here, Maxine. I'm really excited about this. Maxine and I met a few years ago at the Mindfulness Center in Oakville with Dr. Stefan Trevo, and we hit it off right then and there, I think, and we've been friends ever since. We recently reconnected. So thanks again for being here. And I was really curious, what is Vedic educator?
What does that mean? Okay, yes. So the Vedas, the wisdom books from 5,000 years ago, So Ayurveda is considered to be a consciousness healing based system. And so Vedic just means from the Vedas. So having the primordial sound meditation, the perfect health program certification, and the seven spiritual laws of yoga, I am the Vedic educator.
Okay.
Certificate. Or right. Title.
Yes.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Okay, so let's back up, because I mean, I know you've got a really interesting story. So, I mean, that's where you're at now.
Yeah.
How did this all start for you? What started your spiritual journey, I guess?
So, you know, like maybe most of us, I had a personal and health issue way back, about 14 years ago. And I guess I was looking for something more to life. And it was, basically, quote unquote, mental illness.
Right.
I was told I had major depression, prolonged post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety disorder, and all of the kind of stuff, which I really didn't even know, but these were the labels I was given. And I was on different medication, you know, for anxiety, for depression, for sleeping. And I just kind of always felt that there was something more to life, you know, than taking these pills, although I did. And at one point I took one or two yoga classes. And I'm just that kind of person that I like to know the science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to investigate it, and I found the seven spiritual laws of yoga written by Deepak Chopra. And when I finished that book, I was just on cloud nine. And I contacted the Chopra Center.
Okay.
And started that journey.
Yeah, so that's amazing. So you went right to the top, right to the best, I guess, in terms of learning the practice.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I just loved how the book, when I read that book, the message that came through there to me
right.
was sort of how I was feeling. And I just reading that book was uplifting.
Yes. Well, it's interesting, too, because 14 years ago, mental health has become such a mainstream topic now, and I've talked about it on the podcast as well, and I've lost some people close to me through that as well. But the stigma 14 years ago too would have been even more so, I would assume, right?
Is yeah, it was absolutely horrible. I mean, you know, I would say to a certain degree, unfortunately, my ex-husband now and at that time, you know, even didn't want my kids to talk to me when I was going through this horrible time.
Right.
But I have always had my children with me before and after, and it was shortly after because I started to heal myself with, I did have some talk therapy. And one of the programs I did, which I think was a really important part for me to sort of awaken to what all this past was that bubbled up, was a program called Women Recovering from abuse program
at
the Women's College Hospital.
Okay.
However, there's lots of other programs that can be done. I know that's specifically for women, but it was sort of my journey into trying to dig a little deep to find out what was sort of, what had bubbled up, you know, as it was sort of my daughter reaching a certain age,
right?
12.
Yeah.
That was a trigger, which I didn't know about because I wasn't aware.
Okay. Okay. So that's interesting that you mentioned awareness. So, so you found Deepak Chopra. You had not taken many of the courses yet or anything. So at this point, you're still in the process of healing through mental health.
Yes.
What happens next? How do you progress from there?
So I might as well say this. I was taking the pills, and you know they kept increasing the dosage for all of this, and I had a huge crash where I cognitively wasn't making good decisions. So for my own safety, my sister thought it was best if I was in the hospital.
Right.
And believe it or not, I mean, I can say it now, and I don't mind saying it because I think people should know. I was in the psychiatric ward. I was there for 10 or 11 days where basically, you know, it was all about medication. And I looked around me and all these people, most of the women there were asleep. I continued to do yoga. I continued to do meditation because at that point I had started meditating. I just started meditating. And when I decided that I just had this awakening in there that when I left that hospital, I was never going to take another pill. I needed talk therapy. I had just needed someone to talk to about what I had been through. You know, someone that I could, and people who are maybe understood. That helped
absolutely
me awaken to what had happened in when I was young.
Right.
Growing up, you know,
sure,
something I didn't have any control over, but had been buried.
Yes.
Because these things do bubble up.
They do, yes.
And I was in my late 40s at that time,
right,
you know, and so it kind of bubbled up a bit.
Yeah.
Or not a bit, a lot.
Yeah.
And affected my life day to day.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of frightening that, you know, when you're in that position where really just needed some kind of other therapy that, you know, something
totally
so extreme like that would happen. And thankfully you're able to turn that around. And
yes.
So you, at that point, you're doing yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Were you meditating then?
Yes, I was meditating at that time that I had that crash.
But I
had just started. And when I was released, I decided I'm not taking pills anymore.
Right.
And that basically I was just going to meditate. I was going to do yoga and I was going to take care of myself more from a spiritual standpoint.
Yeah.
Because I just knew. It's just that knowing, and I'm so grateful for it. But I guess it was the crash and burn, the really bad crash and burn that I had that woke me up.
Right.
From being, I don't want to call a zombie, but basically from being a zombie and kind of operating from just a different level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas,
absolutely do,
you know. Which I think we all have and go along and until something wakes us up.
Right.
Something gives us that jolt in life. And I had had, you know, just feelings from inside. And I guess it's my soul or spirit or whatever you want to call
right
it. Kind of speaking to me and saying, you know, you've got this.
And you didn't have the tools before to listen or, you know, so
right,
it's interesting. So you obviously you've meditating ever since. I mean,
yes,
you've been practicing
so
yoga.
So I've been meditating and practicing yoga for 12 years now. And I would say within the first 10 or 11 months, I really found my life had totally changed around. I was becoming like more happier, my relationships with my kids, not that I had bad relationships with my kids,
right.
I was always being close with my children. It's sort of like it was my job, you know, that I just loved doing it. And I got to be a kid at the same time because
right
I think my childhood was kind of taken away from me due to certain things that happened
right
that created all that havoc in my life.
Okay.
So, within 10 or 11 months, I just started to feel just different in my body, in my mind, the way I spoke to people. I wasn't as angry. I certainly wasn't as anxious. Yeah. And I mean, I just there was more meaning and purpose to my life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's when I decided, well, I want to become an instructor. I want to teach this.
Yes.
Because why wouldn't people learn to meditate?
Right.
If this is what can happen.
Yes. I mean, it's the benefits of meditation. I mean, they just keep coming up in more and more research all the time. But until you actually do it, you don't really notice what that feels like or how it can affect you. But, you know, we talk about healing all the way back from our childhood, because a lot of the things that we have are actually shaped from our childhood. Mm-hmm. And we don't even remember them oftentimes since we bury them. It's kind of fascinating because, you know, I've mentioned this a few times now, but with healing, it's something I've never used that word personally before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when, you know, we've talked about ayahuasca, when I did that the first time, I went in there thinking, oh, I just need to be more spiritually enlightened. I would never think about healing or anything like that. But over time, I realized it was healing. I was letting things go. I was looking at myself from a different, higher perspective and realizing, hey, you know, you can just let that go, or I can forgive this. And
that's right. So that was what happened, actually. It was really that you just mentioned that, and it kind of brought it up for me, the forgiveness.
Right.
So for the forgiveness was a huge part of what I was holding, like, within.
Right.
Because it happened when I was a teenager. Was sexual abuse.
Okay.
And so I really blame my mom.
Okay.
You know, but it was a family friend, so she didn't really know about that.
Right.
Right. And so I had that kind of always behind me. So I actually talked to her about it. And I questioned her about it because I never had, because it was like a hidden thing.
Right.
And she explained her part, how she never knew, she would never allow something like that to happen.
Right.
And I ended up forgiving her. And in that forgiveness, that was huge. I mean, she didn't like the fact that I actually talked to her about it.
Right.
However, that was a huge part of the healing process. And it's just, you know, it just bubbled up that these were the things that had sort of affected me. So what I needed was talk therapy instead of a bunch of prescriptions being written for me to forget.
Right. Exactly, to just
avoid. So that's part of what the whole yoga, meditation, because it really brings back up things. So, you know, meditation is healing. However, as you know, it can bring up a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Because you become aware of your thoughts.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And it's interesting how people who start to meditate, who start to get into the flow a little bit, start to, you know, you start to stir things up a little bit, and oftentimes they might just quit because they don't want to deal with that.
Right.
It can be painful sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, when there's a lot of darkness and things and emotions that are trapped that we don't even realize sometimes that, you know, but they will manifest in other ways later if we don't address them. So, one of the things that, you know, the main purposes of this podcast, everything I'm doing, is just to try to get people to become more self-aware, to learn how to meditate. And what would you say is some kind of hack or something to help people start the habit of meditation? Because everyone will admit, I should meditate. But it's surprisingly very few people I know meditate daily. Some people say, well, I meditate here and there, or, you know, sporadically, but it's a practice that requires consistency to gain momentum to see results. How do you approach that?
So, I mean, generally when I teach a group, I would say, think of meditation as just, don't be expecting anything, because it's really easy and effortless. A lot of people think, oh, when you're meditating, you're supposed to have like a blank mind, you know? And so that's upsetting, because I can never have a blank mind. I can never have no thoughts. And that's really not true, because we do have thoughts. So I would say to let go of an idea of what meditation should be. So I don't know if you want me to sort of tell people how, you know, simple meditation.
Right. What would be something, I guess, is there a certain time of day as well? Like, so that seems to work. But yeah, what would be like a basic maybe way of just sort of dipping your toe in the water?
So the meditation that I practice, it's a silent mantra meditation. And that word mantra just means a vehicle of the mind, you know, allowing yourself to have something to repeat silently. And it kind of helps to come back to it. So when you're with your thoughts. So, you know, when I first teach it, I mean, it's good to do it in the morning. So for me, rise, pee, meditate before you get on with your day. Because if you get up and you start doing things generally, right, you're going to have your coffee, then you've got to do this, you've got to take the kids, you've got the breakfast.
Slips away very quickly, right? Yes.
So if you can maybe wake up, say, you know, 15 minutes earlier and just put away that time to start. However, I would really say that 20 minutes is at a minimum the best. And why that is your body takes about 20 minutes to reach homeostasis, which is where everything kind of is working the way it should, right? Blood pressure and heartbeat and all that. So close your eyes. You can repeat this mantra. This is what I teach. Like, this isn't the primordial sound meditation that's specific to, you know, someone, but in general, these two words, so hum. It has no meaning. It's Sanskrit. And you close your eyes and you just silent repeat so hum. And you can sit any which way you want. Just try to sit up upright.
Yes.
Not in your bed because you'll fall asleep. And set a timer. But even if you can only meditate for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, do it.
Right.
If you don't have 20 minutes, that's okay. And then generally, I would also recommend doing it in the evening again. So if you can do it 5 to 7 in the morning, 5 to 7 in the evening with your busy lives, try to find that time to meditate that way.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that 100%. So basically protecting some time in the morning, I find it's huge. So my morning routine, I just did a little rant about that the other day. But that's been huge for me because doing it in the morning means that, like you say, right after that coffee, the day starts to pull you away and you lose sight of that. But yeah, so I've actually heard of that mantra before, and I think that's interesting. Would that be considered transcendental per se or not?
So, you know, that word transcendental, like it's just primordial sound meditation. It's a sound. Transcendental meditation is just a type of meditation.
Okay.
But it's the same type of meditation. They're using a mantra.
Yeah.
And the mantra is so hum for everyone, right? Because there's no meaning. Because every time we have a thought, like if I said the word strawberry or ice cream or whatever, you've got a whole bunch of thoughts around that. So when you say so hum, there's no meaning to it.
Right.
So you're repeating it silently over and over and over again, and your mind's going to run off to, you know, oh, I've got to get the kids to school or walk the dog or feed the whatever. But hopefully you've woken up a little bit earlier than your waking up time. And you just keep coming back to that. And don't get too hung up about the thoughts. That's okay. Just come back to it without getting upset about it.
Yeah.
And just keep repeating that. And that is very calming on the nervous system. Even though you're not, you know, that is what it does.
Yeah.
And it just allows everything to calm down. Because that's basically what you're trying to do at the beginning. Like meditation, there's benefits to it. I would say on three levels. Physical. So physical in terms of, you know, fight or flight, releasing stress and all that sort of thing, which is generally why people tend to want that.
Yeah.
And from a psychological standpoint, you start to feel better when you can be less stressful.
Right.
So psychologically, then you start to think better. You start to make good decisions. You're aware of thoughts. It helps you with your decision making. And then on a spiritual level, you're connecting more to something that's bigger than you, that's greater than you. Maybe that little voice that's always talking to you, that's actually telling you what's good for you or what you should do.
Right.
You know?
Helps
and
us
that's
listen.
What happens. Yeah. Yes, because your mind does quiet down.
Right. I also completely agree with, like, I mean, I understand that time is limited for some people, but 20 minutes seems to be the sweet spot for me personally.
Yeah.
It takes maybe 10 minutes for me just to finally calm down and start to turn the noise off. And people often say, well, I can meditate for 5 or 10 minutes, but I don't, you know, they're not really getting into deep work in most cases, I think, unless you're able to really slow down. So to be able to commit 20 minutes is great. And I do like to do something in the evening as well.
Well, having that like bookends,
exactly.
The start of the day so that you're starting your day sort of with that calm. And then before you get into the hectic, you know, evening, night routines, whatever, if you can. But I mean, I know a lot of people are working and things like that. But you, so even if you can't have the 5 to 7, but try that morning to start that.
Yeah.
And then 5 to 7, if you can, in the evening before you start to prepare dinner or stuff. Or, you know, in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like any meditation is a good meditation.
Yes.
Anything.
Right, right.
But 20 minutes is sort of for that homeostasis.
Yeah.
You know, like it really does calm everything down.
Yeah.
And if you can do it and really do it as a routine. I mean, it is a discipline.
Yeah.
Just like if you want to become a better tennis player, you've got to practice.
Sure.
Or swimming or diving or golfing or whatever. And but the thing is, you know, nobody gives, if someone wrote you a prescription, this is how I always think of it.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wrote me this prescription and said, meditate for, you know, twice a day for 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, and this is going to change your life, what would you do?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And it's, people often wait until the symptoms have got to the point or something has broken before, you know, so.
But that's okay too, because that awakens us.
Well,
and
absolutely,
we heal from
right?
That and it makes us better people, and then we can help others and, you know, kind of relate to people from a different standpoint.
So speaking of people, your clients, men and women, do you have, is it more men, more women? Do you find it even?
You know what? I will say that I find more women tend to meditate and come to the classes. I have had men as well, and more on a private basis, which is fine, because that's okay, because maybe men find it a little harder to talk about what it is that's really, you know, why they're deciding to meditate, because they don't want, they're not as open. You know, women tend to, when we get together, we talk about everything.
Right.
Right? There's no holds barred. We just talk about everything.
Yeah.
Whereas men, because of our consciousness, because of the way we've been brought up from day one, you know, oh, well, you know, you don't cry, you don't talk about your feelings, you hide it all. So, I mean, I would like to see more men. I have had men come and learn meditation from me. And I think that maybe it's easier to bond, you know, but I'm happy to do like an all-man meditation class. or one-on-one or whatever. But but women tend to be more spiritually driven.
Yeah, it definitely seems so. I mean, I know I'm always in the minority when I do a retreat or in, you know, in Dr. Chabot's class.
But that's amazing that you do it, because this is a bonus. This is great you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we talk about men talking about things too. I mean, I do think there's a shift happening now. I do think that it's more, you know, that mask of masculinity sort of type thing, where men are starting to let that go a little bit and say, it's okay to talk about my feelings and, you know, why am I so angry all the time or whatever? So, I mean, so I think there is a shift happening, but I mean, part of this is to keep that going, you know.
Yeah, and God, women love sensitivity.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And opening up.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah,
I mean,
dudes,
exactly,
right?
We want that. We're trying to get into that shell.
That's it,
right?
Yeah.
And we want that conversation or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
No, absolutely. So I was reading some things on your website, and so connection to your true spiritual self. So you did touch on that a little bit, but what does that mean to you?
So what does that mean to me is basically, I guess I started to listen to more my inner voice.
Yeah.
So how it manifested through the yoga and meditation and doing perfect health, I learned that I had to take care of myself first, because so on the flip side, right, you get women who have been brought up mostly to, but it's changing, you know, to take care of the children, to take care of their husbands and the home and their parents or whatever. We're caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always not thinking of ourselves first. We're giving.
Right.
And so you can't really give if you really aren't replenished yourself.
Right.
So from a spiritual standpoint, you learn to connect to your true self and you learn to love yourself.
Right.
And if you love someone, just like I would want the best for a friend, I would be able to set a friend down and say, here's what you need to do. And without feeling like this is selfish, I would say, do this, do this, do this. However, as an individual, when we're trying to do things, we think, oh, well, that's selfish or that's no. And so I've learned to become, quote unquote, if you want to call it selfish, but it isn't. It's really self-love.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, without self-love, you really can't love anybody truly.
Yeah.
And so that's really what happened with me. And that's what I would call, you know, connecting to spirit.
Yeah.
And when you love yourself, then you take care of yourself and then you have more to give. And you really, really do connect with other humans. Doesn't matter, male, female, or otherwise, from that spiritual level.
Yes.
And you become more compassionate. And it's not feeling sorry for someone else. It's actually listening, but not taking on all those problems, but truly listening to someone.
Yes.
That's, to me, like the compassionate part. And wanting to help others.
Yeah.
And you realize on a whole that, yes, we're all here individually and we're doing our thing. We're working. We got our families and we want to protect them and whatever. But, you know, so is everyone else. So you start to see the universe, so to speak, or the world and everyone, humanity as one, and including animals. And that's what's amazing.
Yeah.
So you start to really connect to everything. Like nature, and you know, you care about what you do. You become more self-aware of all your actions.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That's amazing. So, yeah, I mean that's how I feel too. So, I mean, with all of the work I do, every so often, you know, we talk about plant medicine a little bit. There's through that experience or my meditation, when you connect, you really get into that good stuff where you're just sort of out of your own self and you're just connected to that greater consciousness.
Yes.
You can sort of absorb that for a while. It does reflect in everything in your life, and you know, you do feel love in that, for yourself in that moment, and which obviously does help you help love other people, and kindness and compassion, all those things follow.
Yeah, and the most amazing thing is I realized too, which is another really important thing through meditation and self-reflection and all of that, you manifest your true desires. So we all have desires.
Right.
And that's the incredible thing. I mean, you know, we may go around and say, oh, I want to find a good parking spot, or I wish I had this, I wish I had that, whatever it is, you know. And sometimes, oh, you wanted the parking spot, you get it. However, I'm talking manifesting just from being aware of your thoughts and having goals and visions.
Yeah.
But maybe something that's greater than yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, yeah. Manifesting in that way.
Yeah.
And you bring the people to you. Like, look at how I connected with you. Because in my mind, I want to do something bigger with this. I want to teach. I want to, you know, and I've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
And I love doing it. It is my passion. It's like when you're doing something you love, you don't really feel the time.
That's right. Yeah.
Sure, you need the income to live and to support family and do and have fun in life. But it is fun doing something you love to do.
Right.
And that's helping others, whatever, sharing about your journey.
Right.
Right? Because we're all traveling along and we have the ups and downs, and this is what helped me.
Yeah.
And I think scientifically, I think the whole thing about meditation or mindfulness or whatever you want to call it is showing the world that it's real.
Yes.
It's not woo-woo, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Something. I love that word, woo-woo. It keeps coming up now, but 100%. So if somebody wanted to learn more about what you do, so you've got the three disciplines.
Yes.
How do you structure your courses and things like that?
Okay, so, I mean, I have the primordial sound meditation class, which is meditation, which I would say is the basis of healing and basis of everything. It's a good place to start.
Okay.
So I teach that in 3 or 4 lessons. So the primordial sound meditation, you get a mantra that's specific to your birth date, place, and time.
Interesting.
And then they use the position of the moon through Vedic mathematics to come up with a sound, a vibration.
Okay.
And this vibration is what you use as your mantra.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? It means, the way Deepak puts it is, before you were born from the unmanifest to the manifest, you came through the gap. And when you came through the gap, there was a certain vibrational frequency.
Yeah.
So this is what you use. So it's not like you're going to be, remember your birth. However, you're trying to remember who you were.
Okay.
Because we're all spiritual beings.
Right.
And we're having this human experience, right? And so we've just been, have layers of covering from our upbringing.
Yeah.
Our life.
Right.
And now it's kind of hiding. Go right. Seek.
Right.
And so then the Ayurveda course, or the Perfect Health course, is based on Ayurveda. And it's, as I mentioned, a consciousness-based healing system from India that's 5,000 years old.
Okay.
And it's basically teaching you how to live. So eating, drinking, colors,
right.
Learning the elements, what you're made up of. So that's a whole other course. And then the seven spiritual laws of yoga. It's basically Hatha-style yoga. And then for each day, there's a lesson, if you will, a spiritual, like today, for instance, is the law of karma.
Right.
So there's a mantra that goes with it.
Yeah.
And it's just basically doing Hatha yoga.
Yeah. Interesting. So do you, is there like a, when's the next round of courses coming up, or is it happening all the time?
Well, I do teach privately, okay. But I do have a session starting January the 16th, which okay. I'm really excited about.
Okay.
And it's actually, I'm doing some yoga, I'm teaching meditation, and also bringing Ayurveda. So all three in one.
Yeah.
It's a 7-week course, and it's in Oakville.
Okay. Well, if anyone's interested in any of Maxine's courses, you can reach me, but where can they reach you directly?
So my website, okay.
maxspec.com,
okay. Or I'm happy to give my email, or you can get it from there.
That's perfect. I think we can find you through that. So.
Yes.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this today, Maxine. I mean, again, it's been really great to reconnect with you. I think we're going to stay connected going forward. We're both kind of on the same mission, I think, right now. And I also wanted to acknowledge you for being so open today, and I really appreciate that. I know it's not easy talking about our past sometimes, but thank you for being open and honest with that. So
thank you for inviting me. I'm just over the top thrilled that I get to do this with you.
Awesome. And I know Maxine's been kind of working away on a book as well. So I think get that book done, and we can do another podcast soon. We'll talk about that.